The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. So as we start this book, I have a question. We're in a book towards the end of the Bible, and I've heard it said it multiple ways, and so I just want to start now by asking this question, and then we'll kind of keep it from there. We can either say it's Habakkuk, because it depends on where you put the emphasis, so it's Habakkuk or Habakkuk. So all those in favor of Habakkuk, raise your hand. Habakkuk, raise your hand. We've got a couple, okay. And then Habakkuk, raise your hand. Okay, so Habakkuk 1, that's what we're going to stick with. I just want to be consistent. I was just going to go back and forth just to mess with people, but I didn't want to do that, so I just want to be consistent. So Habakkuk's what we're going to stick with. So this week, we are in the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk for the rest of you, but Habakkuk, okay? And we're in that book, and it's actually a very interesting book because I think the days that we live in now are truly challenging. I mean, remember 2021? Anybody remember 2021? It was like 10 years ago, right? In 2021, we had mutations of the Corona-19 virus. Nobody knew what it was. I remember going to New York City in 2020 and being warned by this nurse, like, hey, this thing is going everywhere and getting up there, and everything was fine. I'm on stuffed subways. You know, I literally just, I'm more worried about pickpockets than I am getting a respiratory virus. And then literally, as we're leaving New York City, they're shutting down LaGuardia Airport. We took the last flight to St. Louis. They're shutting down the airport. And I'm going, what's going on? And weeks later, I'm seeing on the news where people in the same neighborhoods we were in are just dying in droves. I'm going, what is going on? Right? That seems like a years ago. That was a couple years ago. 2021. And then we had talks of economic meltdown, and then we had the Capitol riots. That was all the same year, by the way. It was a messed up year. January 6th happened. And it seems that indeed everything was being shaken to its core. Shaken to its core. This global pandemic impacted not only our economies, but also the way we worshiped. People jumped online and we're doing YouTube. We had a YouTube channel and, I mean, all kinds of stuff going on. We had pastors. I'll never forget, like, the first time when all the churches had to be shut down for the week, we had pastors on their cell phones in their living room looking like some kind of, like, hostage video trying to do a Bible study. It was, like, bad lighting, you know. It was just horrible, right? And they're trying their best. Some of them didn't even have websites yet, but they're trying all of a sudden to get online and talk to people. I remember spending hours downstairs. And then you get into the elections, which we're about to do this again. But you get into the elections of that year, and it put us in a new path that seemed to, at the time, some people would say, threaten our Judeo-Christian values and really the values in which the Western world was established. And people would ask, and people are still saying, where is God in all of this? Where is God in all this? This is, so many people prayed for a different outcome in the U.S. elections. So many people prayed, interceded for the coronavirus pandemic to end. So many people prayed and called for so many different things. They said, we want these things to happen. And when I read it, all it reminded me of, when I'm thinking of 2021, it reminds me of Habakkuk. It reminds me of this book because I think it holds more relevance today than ever before. You see, this prophet lived in a time where he didn't understand the world he lived in anymore. Where everywhere he looked, he said, this doesn't make sense. This isn't the world I grew up on. As a matter of fact, I know for the younger people this won't make sense, but the older I get, the more I feel that way. The more I'm like, this isn't the world I grew up in. Where do I live? What is going on? And it's funny because I remember my parents saying that. I'd be like, you guys are old. That's stupid. But now that my son counts my gray hairs, I now am saying the same things, right? I'm going, this isn't the world I grew up in. It's just not like some of the things that I did as a child, I couldn't imagine my children doing. When I was 6 years old, I was so bad, I know, it's hard to imagine. I was so bad in school that my dad decided to punish me. And my dad decided, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And so when I got home from school, my last day of school, this grandpa did this. He packed up all my stuff. I got home. He took me to KCI Airport in the morning, and he put me on a plane by myself. I got little special wings. that told me, hey, he's special. Probably, like, keep a hold of this kid. He's going to run. And they took me, and I flew to Atlanta Hartsfield Airport, and then they walked me, a little stewardess grabbed my hand. Come on, baby. They wouldn't even let me get up from my seat. I had to sit in the seat until everybody was gone, and then they took me by the hand, took me to my next gate and set me down, walked me on the plane, and I got to sit on the plane. Very nice. Got peanuts first before we even took off. Got peanuts, all kinds of stuff. Flew to Jamaica, got to Jamaica, and then got off the plane. Didn't know where I was going. And then somebody else, who I'd never met before, picked me up and took me hours into the countryside to my grandfather's house. What? I couldn't imagine doing that with my children to this day. Just one, they wouldn't be able to get through TSA, but like I just couldn't imagine what it was like. Like it was a different world. And I think Habakkuk, he's looking back and he's going, hey, I don't understand this world anymore. When I look around and I observe the world, I don't understand what's going on, and I don't understand what God is doing, is the question I think a lot of people are asking. Hey, I lived in a world where I could travel, everything was fine. Now I don't know if I trust people to do that. Hey, I lived in a world where I can go out and play all day. I don't know if I could trust my kids in the front yard that long. Hey, I lived in the world where I could, right? Fill in the blank, and I can't do that anymore. I don't understand. And Habakkuk is going, I don't understand. And then he's looking, he's going, God, what are you doing? Where are you? In the midst of all of this, where are you in this? And as you read this, and by the way, I encourage you to read this whole these three chapters today. Just take the afternoon. It'll take you 20, 30 minutes to read the whole thing. But as you read it, I encourage you to prayerfully read not just the entire book, but then also, as you go through these three chapters, look at the prophetic view that he has there, because I think you can identify with it. The book differs from other prophetic books in this way. Because the prophet did not receive a direct message from for Israel, but really it was more of a personal dialogue with a troubled man. It was a troubled prophet who said, hey, God, can I talk to you? Which, by the way, I just want to encourage you, you should do the same thing. He kind of runs into a crisis. From the very beginning, he runs into a crisis. I'm going to read passages out of this book. I'm going to challenge you to read the whole book just this afternoon. Take some time to read it. But chapter 1, starting in verse 2, he says this, O Lord, how long should I cry for help? And will you not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong, destruction and violence before me, and strive and contentions arise? So the law is paralyzed. Justice never goes forth, and the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. If you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down. This is God's first response. Oh, he has a few. This is God's first response. God's response is definitely not what you would expect. Okay, when you read this book, you're not expecting what he says. God instructed him to observe what's going on, what's going to happen. Not only is Israel, but among the nations. He goes, hey, look at your nation. Look at everybody around you. Look at everybody around you. He goes, I will raise the Babylonians, is what he says in the subsequent verse. I will raise the Babylonians. They're a ruthless and impetuous people. So he says, hey, these people are worse than you think, and I'm going to raise them up. And that's when I was like, pause, wait, whoa, God, what do you mean? You're going to raise up evil people? Then he goes, I'm going to send them to come destroy. I'm going to send them to destroy, and the days that you live in are truly challenging. He says, I'm going to send them to destroy. And you're like, I don't know how I feel about this. He says, I'm going to shake the very foundations. The very foundations that you understand and you hold true, I'm going to shake that to the core. I think we felt that way in 2021, didn't we? I remember January 6th when I got done speaking to the governor. I was at a thing with him, and I got to speak to him across town, and I got to preach there. And then I came home, and I sat down, and I was about to have lunch and get some work done. And I sat down, I turned on TV a little bit, and I was like, okay, this is going to be nice. And I saw these guys running towards the Capitol, and I'm going, what world do we live in? What is going on? They're attacking, and then the pandemic spiraled out of control, and the elections seem to be, and I'm just like, where's God in all this? What is going on? God, what are you doing? I don't understand. And he didn't understand the world that he lived in. He didn't understand what was going on in his world. And God says, I'm going to use bad things around you to punish. to clarify, to winnow. In fact, God told Habakkuk, I'm doing some things in your days that you would not believe you, even if I told you. He says that in verse 5. Even if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. But the man of God says, let's take a step back. Because he wasn't your average Sunday churchgoer. You know, the once a week, bother to fill the religious duties. He was not a complainer. This guy wasn't a complainer by any means. The more I read about him. He wasn't upset that his prayers didn't get instantly answered like we do in our gratitude culture. What we're dealing with is a great man of God from ancient times. This prophet was one of the few persons whose writings actually ended up in the Bible. His declaration that the righteous shall live by faith in chapter 2, verse 4, by the way, is where it comes from, is one of the most quoted Old Testament verses in the New Testament. You see, he was a man of prayer. He heard the voice of God like few in his generation ever did. He was a compatriot of Jeremiah. They lived at the exact same time. This is a rare man of God who saw his prayers go unanswered, and he said, how long should I cry? How long? I just want to make sure I know how long I should cry. His despair of possibly many years, for he cried for the revival of Israel. I know mothers of the church, I know that have cried and prayed and said, God, how long? How long before my baby comes to you? How long before they turn back? How long before this happens? And honestly, that might be the situation that many dear men and women of God right now find themselves in, who have hoped and prayed for revival for decades, who have hoped and prayed, and truth be told, it has been a long time. It's been a long time. Matter of fact, last year when it started happening at that college down in Kentucky, people got real excited for a minute, right? There's a revival happening. It's been a long time since true revival has broken out in this country. And there have been people hoping and praying and on their and saying, God, how long might we cry as believers? And God's response to that prophet is even more puzzling than anything I've read in a very long time. You wouldn't believe me if I told you. You mean times I read that this week? Just like, I went back to the Hebrew just to make sure it was like translated right. Because I just doesn't sound like the answer I want from God. God, I am struggling, and how long do I have to pray? And I'm crying, and I'm snotting, and I'm on my knees. And he goes, you wouldn't believe if I told you what I was about to do. Hey, God, not helpful. Looking for an answer, you know, Tuesday afternoon, something like that. Like, help a brother out, you know, maybe after you die. I mean, just something. And you said, you ain't going to believe me. Not helpful. I've heard some prophetic voices in the recent years, and one of them said this: Where were the prophets that foretold of the global pandemic? And the lady that was having this conversation with them said, I most likely would not have believed if God had told me that there was a global pandemic coming. I thought it was so interesting. I was actually refreshed by hearing that. Because maybe there's things like that that God is doing that you wouldn't believe. If somebody had told us on January 5th, right? Hey, God's going to ordain, because he did, that those people rushed the Capitol. We would have been like, no, we've had 200 and some odd years of faithful transport of power. No, there's no way. What are you talking about? Hey, you're going to have the worst pandemic since the Spanish flu. We would have been like, nah, we're good. We got the CDC. You know, they're going to listen. Everything's going to be fine. You're going to be on lockdown in your house for about 2 years. Your kids are going to get kicked out of school, and you're going to have to homeschool them. Good luck, right? And they're going to, like, this is what's going to happen. Everything's going to be fine. Everybody's going to wear a mask, and it's going to be great. 6 feet away, we'd have been like, you know, whatever. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. That's what God was saying. You wouldn't believe it if I told you until after it happens. Until after it happens. And then after it happens, you go, oh. Oh, yeah. But here, Habakkuk's response. Yet after God's reply, Habakkuk was even more perturbed, as you and I would be. Yes, that would be me. Okay, God, not helpful, but let me respond back. Would the Babylonians, these pagans, these evil people, be allowed to judge the people of God? With the Babylonians, I mean, if you know anything about the Babylonians, they are not good people by any means. Are they allowed to judge the people of God? This is highly upsetting for him. He goes, why are you silent? Verse 13, why are you silent when the wicked swallow up the more righteous than himself? He asked. And then he made the decision that became a game changer for both the prophet and the outlook for the entire message, I think. Habakkuk recognized that he now desperately needed to hear from God. He understood that the old paradigms and concepts no longer worked. He grasped that. The focus now shifted from asking God to hearing from him. He wasn't just begging God. He said, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. And listen, God still speaks today. You have to hear this. You have to understand God still speaks today. But maybe you need to reorient your heart just a little bit to hear the new thing. Because sometimes our hearts aren't in the right place to hear. Remember old radios? I mean, I know we all listen to, you know, Spotify and whatnot. But remember old radios? You would do it. I still have one downstairs in my tinker room. You put it on, and I'll put a little I put a hanger on it. It's ghetto until it fell off. And I have a hanger in it, kind of put it off to the side, and you go, and sometimes when I'm tinkering, I'm like soldering something. I got to go around, and I'll get the station for a second. It kind of comes, right? It's back and forth. Why? And what I have to do is I have to move the hanger just a little bit. Sometimes connect the hanger to my light up top. They get the extra metal, so it's a little bit more, just to turn a little bit so I can get it so that red light comes on. It's a stereo. And then I can hear what I want to hear. And it can finally hear the program I'm wanting to hear so I can do the work I want to do. Sometimes you have to reorient the things in your heart and the things in your life to be in tune with what God is trying to say. Because God still speaks today. And he wants to do so much in our world today. But we have to remember, the Bible is full of passages that have difficult times that will come. Lawlessness will increase. Let's just say it, lawlessness will increase, and he will judge the world through earthquake and pestilence, and yes, eventually a global war that will happen. It will happen, and I don't know what lies ahead. I don't know what lies ahead, but it could be that we're entering a new season when things will come and will be more difficult for the Western church. It could be that we've had it easy for hundreds of years, and God is going to make it a little bit harder for you to live. Yet as we draw close to him and we seek the face of God, and the promises of God will draw near, and he will answer our pleas. We can learn so much from the Southern Hemisphere and the churches down there. We can learn so much from the Eastern Church that have been persecuted for years and still stay faithful. We can learn so much from churches that have been decimated but still stay faithful. We can learn so much from churches that have nothing, amen, that have nothing but God's word, that are desperate for God's word. We have been spoiled, and maybe God is saying, hey, I don't understand. And maybe instead of praying, let me just challenge you, maybe instead of praying what we always pray, we can be like Habakkuk. And when we went to the watchtower to receive this divine insight for his time, he realized that some of the changes that happened in the year prior were irreversible. Some of the things that happened were not going to change. What worked in year past might not work today. Maybe you can't run up on the street somebody when it comes to evangelizing and go, hey, can I tell you about the Ten Commandments? Because people don't care. Maybe people just need to know that they're loved and walked with. Maybe people need to hear God's word through you actually living God's word. You see, this time, each one of us, every one of us is called. We're called to go up into our personal watchtower and pray and seek God like never before. You're called to do that. This is the call on every believer's life, and this is what he's trying to tell you right now. Insight from God can turn your watchtower into a lighthouse that attracts the many to you and to Christ. You can be that light tower that shows people the dangers that are out there. You can be that person that can say, hey, come, follow me as I follow Christ. And the Lord told him, he said, hey, Habakkuk, I want you to write down plainly what I'm about to share with you. And read it. Chapter 2, verse 2. That means God gave him not just an answer for his own questions, but what he heard would help others too. Habakkuk's watchtower prayer turned into a lighthouse for guidance for others, including you and me. It was a guidance for you and me. He used him in turbulent times, much like the sons of Issachar. And this unique tribe understood the times and the seasons they lived in. And this is what he calls you to do now. Then he says, the righteous shall live by faith. If you're taking notes, write this down. The righteous shall live by faith. The same time God affirmed Habakkuk in his unmovable purposes. He says in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he says this. For still the vision awaits, it is appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It surely will come. It will not delay. But the righteous shall live by his faith. Shakings will come. Shakings will come. It'll come. It'll happen. God said the righteous shall live by faith. The most needed quality we have to strive for in troubling times is to live by faith. The times that we're in right now, the elections that we come into right now, the seasons that we're in right now that we're not all agreeing with, we need to show people how to live by faith. Don't allow confusion or challenges of our time to rob you of your faith. Don't allow that to happen. You know, in spite of the chaos around us, God is seated on his throne and has never left. He's never left. This was the vision of Isaiah. You got to understand, he'll never leave the throne. He's one of the greatest kings of Israel, died. Isaiah saw the death. He saw the tragic death. But you know what he still saw? He still saw God sitting on the throne. He still entered in his presence, seeing God sitting on the throne with his robe filling the temple in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Or to put it in the words of the prophet Daniel, when confronted with death and all the wise men and magicians of Babylon were at the end of their wisdom, Daniel was full of faith and he declared, but there's a God in heaven. You got to know. When everybody's at the end of whatever they have, when all the pundits are done punditing, when everybody's on TV talking about, oh, I don't know what's going on, economy's coming down, we should be the people that can stand up and say, but there's a God in heaven, there's a king on his throne, and he's still there. And he's never left. That means in the midst of confusion, economic hardship, all of our unanswered questions, it's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that will carry us through. The righteous shall live by faith. I remember a few years ago, I was at a church, and it was right after an election, and everybody was really, really sad because their candidate had lost. And I remember walking in, and I wasn't really sure what was going on because the way people walked around, it was almost like somebody had died. And so we went to a deacon's meeting, and we're sitting in the deacon's meeting, and everybody was sitting there, and they're just kind of down. And I said, did the lead pastor die? And somebody's like, no, you didn't hear? I said, no. And they said, well, so-and-so lost the election. I said, oh, Jesus is still king, ain't he? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, we good then. Can we get on with this meeting? Like, what are we doing? It was so confused because so many times our hope are in a candidate or in a person. Listen, they will fail you.
Yes.
Let me just make it real clear. They will fail you. The only savior you have is Christ Jesus. Don't let you forget that the king is still on his throne. Finally, if you're taking notes, write this down. God is still at work. God is still at work. Finally, God affirmed to Habakkuk that he could not, what he could not believe anymore. In the midst of judgment and chaos, God's salvation purposes with mankind continued apace. Like a powerful ray of light. I love this. Like a powerful ray of light penetrating the darkness, God announces this in chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You ever been to the ocean? You just look out on the ocean and it keeps going and going and going and going. And God says, the faith of me will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Do you understand how deep the sea is? There are places we've yet to discover. There's places we haven't they're still discovering animals every day in the ocean. Some of the animals don't even make sense. There's an animal that I was looking at this week. It's really, really amazing. Whatever it eats, it takes on its attributes. So if it eats something poisonous, it grows poisonous spine. It's like a weird alien. Because everything down there is like a weird alien. And it just, everything keeps growing. And we're just now discovering this thing. And scientists are like, this doesn't make any sense. And I was watching a thing going, you're right. It doesn't make any sense. But it's in the ocean because reasons, right? And I'm sure God every day puts stuff out there in the ocean. And when we find stuff, he goes, yeah, that's been out there for a minute. And he says, hey, the faith of me is going to cover the earth like that. And it's going to be that deep. In that wide, in that, is that beautiful? This is not theological or prophetic statement of the future, but it is an invitation of God to take an active part of his salvific process that he says you and I have a part of. That we can be a part of this. And so we find the prophet, and hopefully you have a newfound faith in this season. That his first reaction is to embrace God's will. He says this in chapter 3. I love this. Chapter 3, verse 2. I heard your report. I love that. I heard your report. In other words, I hear you. I understand what you're saying. I've heard your report. He still didn't like it, and he was still filled with fear and trembling. For the rest of the chapter, he's still filled with fear and trembling. So, by the way, some people go, oh, well, if I go out and share my faith, and it's still scary. I know if you've been around me and I share my faith and people are like, oh man, you're so good at that. If you felt my heart, it's going. I'm still scared. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't mean I'm not obedient. Amen. It doesn't mean I'm not obedient. That's what he's saying here. He says, I see that God is still at work, so I'm going to join him in it. I see pestilence and pandemics and the heels that are going out here. I see the high places are shaking, but I still see God is coming and visiting earth. But he understood that God has come not to destroy his people, but is coming on a chariot of salvation. And God went out for salvation with his people, and he said, I'm going to anoint you to do the work that I called you to do, verse 13. And it will make us think of some of the greatest revivals that have happened in the history of man that have not taken place in our democratic Western world or free market countries that are still fighting poverty. But he says, hey, listen, it's going to happen sooner or later. Are you going to be a part of it? Are you going to be a part of it? Are we going to see revivals like they're seeing in Latin America? Are we going to see revivals that are happening in Africa? Are we going to see revivals that are happening in Asia right now? Are we going to see those that are happening in the turbulent Arab world right now? Are we going to see that? You see, God does his work in mysterious ways, but he does his work. Like, I want you to hear that. He does his work. Therefore, Habakkuk received divine faith in the midst of challenging times. He didn't run from it. He embraced it. His hunger for revival was not quenched, but it was strengthened. He didn't look at the world and read the news and go, man, forget this. I'm gonna go back into my holy huddle and by, just wait until everything. No. He leaned in. He leaned in and said, I have more faith that God is doing something. Now, do I understand what he's doing? No. But I will wait on him. I will join him. I will be a part of that. And he says it right here. Oh, Lord, chapter 3, verse 2, he says, oh, Lord, I have heard the report of you. Your work, oh, Lord, I do fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In the wrath, remember mercy. I fully believe, despite what all the news has told us about the Western church falling apart and everybody going down, I fully believe that the greatest years of the Western church are way ahead of us. I fully believe that the children that are here and the ones that are out there that actually have to live their faith out in a country that's not so mighty and great to live it out in will be a beautiful thing because they actually will live their faith. We can't fake it till you make it anymore. They're not going to have that opportunity. You see, your work now in Christ does not depend on the earthly government. It doesn't. I don't need you to teach my babies the Bible in school because I'm going to do it. I don't need the Ten Commandments on a wall because I'm going to teach my babies it. I want them to know what it feels like to live for Christ. And by the way, I don't know what you're teaching them anyway, so let me teach it to them. Let me work. Let the church actually live. Let the church actually grow the way that she's supposed to. It's not dependent on any government putting it in. In the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a political strife, in the midst of whatever's going on, let his prayer be our prayer. Lord, revive your work in and in wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk's attitude is now different from a seemingly legitimate complaint. Let's be honest. He had legitimate complaints. You're going to take evil people and judge me. Evil people and judge the righteous. You're going to let good people die. There are bad people out here losing their mind, doing whatever they want. You're going to let good people die left and right. He says this in verse 17. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, there be no herd in the stalls, yet I rejoice in the Lord, and I take joy in the God of my salvation. He says, I have nothing, and I still take joy. I still take joy. His faith and his joy aren't dependent on the circumstances because he saw God in control. I want you to hear that. His faith and joy are not dependent on the circumstances because he saw God in control. Do not despair in your in disappointment or lack of understanding or even wavering faith. Remember that the great man Habakkuk struggled in times that he was living in. But it's in this book that the struggling prophet invites us to plead our case before the God, and he will indeed answer. He will. He will answer to you. And finally, he makes a profound statement. And this is how the book ends. He says in chapter 3, verse 19, God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like a deer. He makes me tread on my high places. And it blows me away every time I read that. The chaos and shakings become my territory for victory. My chaos and shakings, the places where I'm struggling, the places where I'm hurting, become the territory for victory for me and for this prophet. God strengthened him, and in his strength he gave him feet like a deer, treading on high places. There's no doubt that we live in a complex and difficult time. Reading this verse, I was reminded of a documentary of mountain goats. I don't know if you guys have ever seen them. They crack me up because they can be wherever they want. And honestly, the part that makes me crazy is they take these sheer rocks and they just stand on the edge of them. And you're just like, how? You know, anybody else, you put something on it, it just slides down. But they're just standing up there, just chilling, eating, looking at you like you're an idiot, right? You know, and I'm sure the cameraman got all kinds of things rigged into the side of the mountain just to take a shot of them. But they're just chilling up there. I mean, I remember driving to Colorado and there's mountain goats on the side of the mountain, just sheer cliffs, just, what's up, right? Like, they just chill, they're just doing their thing. And it's amazing. And the best part is when they're teaching their kids how to do it. And their kids struggle a little bit, but they still figure it out. And you see, what happens is that they, with the utmost ease, are able to navigate the highest, seemingly impossible terrains. They're able to go up and down these sheer cliffs that don't make any sense, where you and I would look at it and go, how do you do that? They just walk up and chill. And that's what your faith in Christ will do to a world that is rocky and that is all over the place. You will have the ability to walk through sheer cliffs. You will have the ability to walk up places where people go, you shouldn't be there. Your faith shouldn't take you there. But yet, you have feet like deer. You will be able to stand in those places. You will be able to be there. And God promised you the supernatural gift to you, the capability to navigate the realities of a world that is broken around you. And you'll be able to stand in faith before Christ because he has given that to you. He will give you not only the strategies, but also the empowerment to be able to walk. And remember, as a man and as a woman in Christ, your watchtower is where you belong. You go up to that place to pray, and you become a light tower to the world to show everybody where you can come so we can follow Christ. Because the righteous will live by faith. That is what the message of Habakkuk is to us today. He tells you right now that you have to place your faith in Christ. And as you do that, as you place your faith solely in Christ, you'll be able to walk with him and talk with him so he can give you the strength you need in the coming days. Because you're going to need it. I'm going to need it. There are days that are coming that are tumultuous. And he says, I want to give that to you, and so I just want to give you this. If you've never placed your faith in Christ, today's the day. Start now. Start right now. Don't turn or walk or try to figure it out for another day. Do it now. But also, if you are struggling in your faith, talk to God. Let him know, hey, I don't understand what's going on today. Them Republicans, them Democrats, those libertarians, those conservatives, those liberals, all those guys, they crazy. God, what are you doing? I don't understand why this is happening in my family. I don't understand why this is happening in my house, my state, my world, my job. I don't understand why this is happening. And let God strengthen you. Let him give you the feet that you need to walk where you need to go. Let him give you the faith you need to go where you need to go. And let the reminder of this book show you the beauty of who God is, even when he's doing something that you would not believe. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you that you would do something that we would not believe. Even in these days, as we sit in days that we don't understand, as we struggle to try to understand all of what you have given us, Father, you have charged us with a solemn, solemn duty to teach the world about who you are. So, Father, I just ask right now that you help us as believers to actually live out our faith, to actually live in faith to where we need to be. Father, give us the strength that we need, the faith that we need, even though the world around us seems to be falling apart. And much like Habakkuk, strengthen our hearts and our minds for the task at hand. Let us not be shaped by this world, by the news, by our families. Let us be shaped by you and you alone. Thank you that you would give us this term, this time, this message, this charge in our life as we come to the table to break the bread and to drink. Let us remember your broken body, what you've done for us. Father, let us remember what your son did on the cross for us so that we could be in this position. And then call us to be obedient to you. We praise you and thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.